It's so good to be here. I have entitled my message, "Welcome those who are just arriving. Find a seat, please." The flood testifies to the Lord's coming. Have you thought seriously and considered this week? The Lord may come anytime. And be ready. Have you? Honestly, did you? You ask yourself. I tell you, dear friends, if you are earnestly in love with the Lord, like the bride which is waiting for the bridegroom, who has gone overseas on a mission, but wedding day is coming up, what does the bride do every day? Make sure that she is in the fit and the best condition to welcome the bridegroom, because he is coming. Are you ready? Did you think of the bridegroom coming from heaven? Well, we are as the bride. And so this is my opening remark only. You know what we are thinking nowadays most? I think it's the Olympics. Everybody's reading, thinking of Olympics. I was in Penang. I've been there for 4 weeks. And I watched the opening. Amazing! China is going to show the world, you don't know what we can do, you know. And the whole world sits up. I was told, estimated 4,000 million people were watching. Were you one of them? Likely. So amazing, everybody knows, wow, now we know what China is. Otherwise they say, well, just a lot of old people in Beijing. Now, dear friends, everybody has now seen China, 4 billion. I want to tell you something even more wonderful. When you tune into the thing, you watch, wow, the bird's nest. Not bird's nest soup, but bird's nest stadium. So amazing. Soon, one day, there is going to be a spectacle much more amazing and more dazzling and more compelling. Revelation 1:7 says, every eye shall see him. Not 4 billion, but if there are 6 or 7 billion, every eye will see him. Who? The return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the one event that all the world will have to take note of. Whether you like it or not, you're going to see the Creator. The one who put you on planet Earth. The one who is coming to take an account. You agree? You say, I don't know. I never heard of it. Now, after today, no excuse. Because you've heard of it. I'm telling you facts, not fantasy, you know. Because it is out of the one book that makes no mistake. So you see, watching television, and you see, every day there are people who are crying because they didn't get a medal. Amazing, just because you didn't get a piece of copper or silver or gold, and people are crying. That same verse says, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when the Lord Jesus comes, and those people who were never prepared don't want to believe that Jesus can come back. They are going to cry, not because they didn't get a medal, but because they cannot face the judge of all the earth. So we come back to our opening question. Are you ready? This week, have you considered, reminded yourself, maybe the Lord is coming this week, maybe next week, maybe next year, maybe 10 years' time, doesn't matter. The thing is, everyone who knows the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have a business to be concerned with your future. What are you going to receive when He comes? You please turn with me to a verse of Scripture which tells us what you and I will receive. Amazing! And when you know that, you're going to change your life. 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 8. 2 Timothy after Thessalonians is Timothy. All right, it is near the end part of the New Testament. You ought to know the order of the books of the Bible. All right, are you ready? 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 8. You like to read with me. You know, when you read, your mind will not stray. All right, everybody reading, please. Verse 8 of 2 Timothy 4. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Amen. Do you love his appearing? Do you? Really? Now, my friends, you cannot love his appearing if you are doing things that he told you not to do. This is so simple, isn't it? He says, if you love me, what? Keep my commandments. I've told you so many times, so often, so wonderful. And his commandments are not difficult, not grievous, not hard to do. And why don't you do? And when you do, when he comes, he'll say what to you? Well done. Are you ready to hear his well done? Or a rebuke? Or some kind of chastisement or punishment? Now consider. It says, Paul says, and I wish all of us can say like he says. And you can say like he says, if you are watching, doing his commandment every day. When he comes on that day, when it says, every eye shall behold him, say, how can it be? Now you know it can be physically. Huh? Every eye on earth on that day, when there is the wonderful technology of instant visual communication, television. You can be in the South Pole or the North Pole, or even underground trying to hide yourself, but the television will show you. Every eye shall behold him. And then it says, those who do not believe will be wailing, crying, regretting. I say, dear friends, you do not need to be in that group. No need to. Why? Because you belong to the one who is coming back to earth. The Lord Jesus is your Savior. You know it. Do what he says to do. Now, my theme is the flood tells us there is going to be a coming of Jesus Christ. What was the flood and what is the coming of Jesus Christ? What do they have in common? What do they have? Can you tell me? Think. Coming to church is not just to sit there passively and do nothing, you know. You got to think. What do they have in common? The flood and Jesus coming. A common thing is judgment. Judgment. Please understand, we came into planet Earth. See, this is planet Earth, round. Huh? Where are you now? Somewhere there. What are you doing? Going round the sun. Who put you here? Who? You didn't come by yourself. Understand that? You didn't one day get a letter say, will you agree to be born onto planet Earth? No. You just came. No, not just. You were put here and you go round. How old are you? 50 years old? You go round the sun 50 times. That's what it means. And one day you're going to be taken out. How? By death. Who? The Maker takes you out. Yeah. So what you do is going to be judged. The flood was the first judgment. And the whole world was judged. How do we know? Because the Word of God, please understand, this is the Word of God. The only book in the whole world which tells you past, present, future, without mistake. The only book. And it tells you who made the earth and who put you here. And He's come again. The first judgment was the flood. And I say, we all have seen evidence of the flood. All of us, you and me. There are so many evidences of the flood. I need not tell you all of them. I tell you just one thing. Sedimentary rocks. You go to any hillside that is exposed, not covered with trees or vegetation. Any hillside that is exposed and the rocks are bare, you find it near the North Pole. In the Rocky Mountains, you go to the hillside in Philippines, go to the Australian so-called 12 apostles in the south of Melbourne. Everywhere, anywhere, in any continent, everywhere where there is exposed hills or mountains, you see one thing. The story of the flood is written there. Sedimentary rocks. You see the exact formation, layers and layers of rock. On the hillside, I saw it when I went to the Philippines, when I went to North America, on the Rocky Mountains, hundreds and thousands of miles. When we went to the Holy Land, as we drove through the Sinai Peninsula, the whole mountainside is striated. Layering of rocks. Where did they come from? You can find it in North America, South America, near the South Pole, North Pole, everywhere. Even in Singapore. Yes, get the mountainside cleared and you see the hills. Where did all these rock formation come from? Answer. When the earth was mixed with the water, when the water covered all the earth and great commotion and churning up of the earth with the water, then layered down. You can repeat this experiment even in your home by an experiment. Mix up some sand and cement and churn it up and let it settle down. It will come down in layerings. All the rocks say, there was once a judgment. No one escaped except 8 people. Noah, his wife, 3 sons, 3 wives. 8 people. That's why we have a wonderful book, wonderful word in Chinese called Chuan. You know that word? I'm sorry for all those of you who do not read Chinese, including many Chinese don't read Chinese. And that word Chuan is 8 people in a craft makes the word boat Chuan. Alright? Amazing, is it? Hey, that is by chance, lah. I said, not by chance, because that word is 4,250 years old. How did he know, the people who invented the Chinese writing? How? You know that Noah had 3 sons, and one of the sons gave rise to the Chinese. All the 3 sons gave rise to all the black and yellow and white races, and those who were the Chinese, they went east. And they carried with them the knowledge of the flood. Because Noah was a just man. And the sons, one of them carried that memory, record, that recalling of, wow, we were 371 days in a craft. Going where? Answer, nowhere. It's a cruise to nowhere. All you have to do is get aboard, shut the door, get in, stay in. That is your survival craft. And after 371 days, they came out. God said, Noah, now is time, get out. And what did they see? Nothing left on earth. Nothing except a few blades of grass and some vegetation growing back. Nothing. The whole earth was bare. And they said, don't forget. The flood was a great judgment. Now God is coming to judge again. Now we're going to read about this great judgment that people refuse to acknowledge, refuse to think. Who likes judgment? Do you? You like to go to the high court and stand there and the judge looks at you and tells you what's wrong with you? I can assure you nobody here will put a hands up and say, do you like to go to high court? Nobody wants to go to high court. Now this is a supreme court. When Jesus returns, he comes back as judge of all the earth. And he must come back because at the moment, the problems of earth cannot be solved by any man. You know that? Iraq cannot be solved by bombs and tanks and guns. Cannot be solved. The problems of the whole earth are much worse than the problem of Iraq. You know that? You say, well, Singapore is okay. I say, Singapore is just a red dot in nowhere. We're nothing. We don't determine the future of the earth. Who determines? Who? You? Not me, not you. Who determines the future of Singapore and the rest of the world? Who? That great God who brought on the flood. He's coming back a second time. And he is going to judge the earth according to righteousness. I was in Penang for 4 weeks. Every day I read some headlines of news in Malaysia. Amazing thing. Every day, so many headlines. The ex-police chief under investigation for being dishonest. Ex-chairman of this, that and the other organization under investigation. The one who aspires to be the prime minister under investigation for sodomy. Wow. Every day you read all these. Where is the judge? The judge must come. Where from? The Lord must come. Now, you turn back to Matthew's Gospel chapter 24. And I hope that you will all learn something today that you can take home and never forget again. Verse 35 of Matthew 24. Now I want to remind you that these are the words spoken by the coming judge. The one who is shortly going to appear and all eyes will see him. Everyone on earth will have to stand before him to be judged. And he's telling us what's going to happen. Are you interested to know? Of course. If you have any sense of thinking, this is the words of the judge. This is addressed to you. Heaven and earth, verse 35, shall pass away. My words shall not pass away. You can forget about what you read here and there because not everything is true. But when you read from the Bible, it says, heaven and earth and all the writings of earth will pass away, but my words. Where can you get my words? Jesus' words in the Bible. Now, I was so glad I saw in your weekly today the lead article. Is the King James Version too archaic, old-fashioned for use? Yes or no? Dear friends, the contest and the contention of the end time is the same as the contention in the Garden of Eden. Genesis chapter 3. What happened? God said to Adam, you don't take and eat of that tree. Genesis 3, is that word is challenged. By whom? Adam and Eve. And they said, we'd rather not listen to what God says. and we'll listen to what the snake says. And so, they broke the law. Now, what has that got to do with King James Bible? Let me tell you this, dear friends. We have used King James Bible from day one of the BP Church, 1950. Now, how many of you have been with the church from 1950 till today? Other than my brother and myself, I don't think there's anyone else, and my wife. Right? Is there anyone, did I miss out, anyone who was at the first service in 1950 on the 18th of October? Anyone? First service, Prinsep Street. Anyone? Anyone? All right, only three of us. Now, from that day we use King James Bible. And from that day there has been a consistent, persistent attack on that Bible to change it to something else. From that day till now. And that battle goes on. And that battle is the cause of why this church has been formed. You know the reason why you have a True Life BP Church coming out of Life BP Church? For what reason? The contest is over the King James Bible. As simple as that. So, there is one Bible only today that can answer to that question. Is God's Word reliable without mistake? And there's only one Bible today. You can take it in your hands and say, this Bible is 100%. You say, what about NIV? My dear friends, if there is corruption in any book, it is in that book. And I can tell you, that is not my topic today. If you'd like to hear it, I can give you 1 hour talk on that. Verse 35. Heaven and earth shall pass away. By my words, as contained in the King James Version, shall never pass away. Of course, there may come another version as good, I don't know. But as far as I know, the closest rivals tell a lot of lies inside there, but I don't find those lies in the King James Bible, so that continues to be my Bible. 36, of the day and the time knows no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. I received a letter about a month ago from a good friend of mine. He says, you know, Dr. Toh, I know you're very concerned about the coming of Jesus. And I've, through my meditation, found out he's coming on the last day of September or the first day of October. I said, wow, wonderful, what must we do? So you watch out. This is his prediction. Last day of September or the first day of October. Not very far away, you know. Today is 24th. Next week is 31st. The next day is September. Those 2 days, the next Sunday and the following Monday. Watch, please. Be careful what you do. But I say, live as per normal. Per ordinary. Like every day. I do not think the 2 days are going to bring a big television show of Jesus Christ around the world. Okay. Verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. How wonderful. That not only does Jesus say, I am coming, but he gives you the signs of his coming. How do you know? Answer is, the days of Noah will come back on earth. What are the days of Noah? You read from Genesis 6 and 7, you see. And the earth was corrupt. The Lord God Creator looked down and said, how's things happening on earth? And he saw man was very wicked, filled with violence and corruption and nothing good, not good enough for God to spare them. He says, now the time has come for me to judge. And he judged by water. Alright? The first time by water. Read on. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered into the ark, and they knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. That is right. It will be a terrifying event. What happened on the day of the flood? Let's say it happened at 12 noon. The people had been watching this silly old man called Noah. Not so silly. Continuing to build a craft when there had not been rain on the earth. This is in Genesis chapter 2. You see, God's word is more amazing than you ever thought. God says, you don't read that verse and you never know why the people were so unbelieving. God's word, you like to read that verse. Genesis chapter 2, please. Just a quick look there and you will never forget it. Genesis 2, verse 5. Alright, Genesis 2, 5. You like to read with me. So when you read, you will not forget. Okay, everybody. And every plant of the field before it was on the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. Now, everybody, please read. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth. Amen. Okay. Up until the flood, no rain. The flood was only the beginning of the rain. God who put the water, put some on the earth, that is the seas, he put some up above. A great amount of water was in the atmosphere or the stratosphere. On that day it came down. Now, the Lord says, you want to know my coming? Things on earth, on planet earth and in Singapore will be like as in the days of Noah. What were they doing? Doing business as usual as they had always done. And when the flood came, the earth had been formed for 1,600 odd years. 1,600 odd years. Average life of people before the flood was 900 and about 2 years or so. Over 900 years. You say, how can it be? Please do not think the conditions for life then were the same as the conditions for life now. They are very, very different. Very different. Now again, I cannot go into the details, but life conditions when God formed the Garden of Eden were for longevity without end. Death was not a consideration at that time. Today, why do people die? Common cause is cancer. Where does cancer come from? From the air you breathe, from the things you eat, from the rays that hit you every day, 24 hours a day, bombarding you from outer space. If the earth did not have the ozone layer, and the clouds and the water vapor, all of us would be roasted alive. We'll be dead in a short time, very short time. Now those things are there to protect. And on the day of the flood, those protective water vapor came down, changed the whole atmosphere, changed the whole environment. That's why the people could not live for over 900 years. How long did they live after the flood? Within a few generations, 300 years. From 900 to 300. Read all the ages of the patriarchs after the flood. And from there, by the time of Moses, what did he say? 70 years and 10. What is your age nowadays? 70 years and 10. From the time of Noah until now, it is 70 years and 10. Now, better living, better health and so on. People are living to 95, 100 years, so not uncommon. Look at the newspaper obituary. Alright, we're not interested in that. But Jesus says, you want to know my coming. Before I come, society will be very wicked. Yep. The newspaper asked M.M. Lee, will there be the gay lifestyle, homosexuality, will it come to Singapore? His answer was a very reasoned and and a wise answer. He didn't say yes. He didn't say no. Depends. Depends on what? On time. They give it 5 more years. At first, people said, no, no, no. Then slowly, they said, maybe. In 5 years' time, they say, okay. It will come. Society will be getting worse and worse and worse. That is the time when Jesus will come, when it is intolerable. It's not getting better. When people have more money, more enjoyment, they think of the world, they don't think of their soul, they don't think of Jesus coming, they don't think of salvation, they don't think of judgment. Jesus is coming to judge. Right? So, you know, how can I know Jesus is coming? Number one is the state of society. Number two, what Jesus says, you can take it for truth. All that he says, heaven and earth pass away, but my words, I'm telling you, I am coming back. Do you believe him? And he says, heaven and earth can go, but my words will never go. It will come true. You believe? All right. Now, verse 40. Then two be in the field, one taken, one left. Two women grinding at the mill, one taken, one left. Two in the bed, one taken, one left. It will be a terrible thing. Because Jesus is coming to redeem, and those who are his, waiting, looking, ready for his coming, they will be taken by the Lord Jesus Christ in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. When you read this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, both are there. Right? When the Lord comes, you will be changed. You say, how come? In exactly the same way that Jesus Christ was risen, raised from the dead, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, Jesus, third day after crucifixion. Amazing, isn't it? Now that is truth. Heaven and earth pass away, but this truth of Jesus rising from the dead will never pass away. And this is the foundation of our faith in him. Our future is founded on the one fact, that Jesus Christ overcame death. And when you believe in him, he will raise you from the dead. So you have a future to look to. So don't worry. Of course, we all worry. If the doctor says, hey, you got cancer, the next question is, doctor, how long will I live? And doctor, mostly wrong. Eh? Mostly wrong. They all tell you something, but they told my brother, he told me, 6 to 12 months. When was that? 2 years ago. Now the 6 months have gone over 4 times already. So, where is our life? Who controls it? The Lord who gave it controls it. And after that, what? Judgment. And he's coming to judge, so be careful. Now, verse 42. Watch therefore, you know not for the hour the Lord doth come, and of course, I will communicate with my friend after October the 1st. I say, your September 30th and, sorry, oh yes, September 30th and October the 1st, nothing happened. I think I'm confident I'll be able to write to him that letter. Okay, now, verse 42, watch. I say the same to all of you here, dear friends. After this sermon, you walk out. You say, what do I remember? I remember this one thing. Verse 42. Watch. You must watch. You say, how do I watch? Is there a place I go there, sit quietly and watch? No, dear friends. You watch by living normally. You watch by living a kind of alertness that God can give to you watchfully. Watchfully. I give you just 3 things you can do to be watchful. Just 3 things. Very simple. Number one, be a good witness for the Lord. Go and tell someone who is dear to you, if that person is still not a Christian, not a believer. Go and tell him, the Lord is coming. When he comes, where will you be? The Lord is going to judge you. That's number one. Number two, hang on to this Bible. Don't change it to NIV or anything else. Because this is the only book you can take up and say, there is no mistake. NIV, very popular, is owned by a man called Rupert Murdoch. Rupert Murdoch is the richest media tycoon in the world. He owns News Corp and he owns Zondervan. He owns the NIV. And by sales propaganda and technique, in the last 50 years, NIV has pushed out KJV. Now only a few old-fashioned people, like those in True Life Church and Pandan Calvary, still hold this old-fashioned book, you know. When I began the church 40 years ago, they told me, hey, Dr. Toa, you want your church to grow or not? I said, of course. I changed to NIV. I said, not on your life. You ask me to change to NIV and the church will grow? You grow to be like devils. No, I want my church to grow on the truth of God. So I continue KJV. After that, we formed 24 churches. All grow, all on KJV. Dear friends, there are so many other things that we ought to know, but please know this. Go and tell people. That's number one, watchful. Number two, hang on to the KJV no matter what happens. Number three, what is it you can do to prepare for the Lord's coming? To watch. I brought it for you. Now, this book says, family worship. How many of you have family worship every night? Gather the family and say, ayah, too difficult lah. Ayah, no time lah. Ayah, I don't know lah. Okay, I've answered all the questions here. You don't know, I got DIY here. Turn to the center page. What is DIY? Do it yourself. Even a primary six child in school can do it. Very simple. Now, you say, no money lah. I say, no money? I sell you $1 for 4 copies. Okay, you cannot say no money, right? Borrow $1, you get 4 copies. Okay, get your copy outside. You can't get all the 4 copies today, get 1 copy, and the first 10 people get it free. Okay. The rest of you, put your name there. Next week, I will send all the supplies you need. Only thing is, don't take home and file up in the bookshelf and that's it. Make sure that you read this and honestly promise the Lord, I'm going to watch because I know the Lord is coming soon. I want to be one of them who will not be left behind. I want to teach my children to be God-fearing, to be ready, alert, because the Lord is coming. Family worship. Number one, tell a friend about Jesus Christ. Witness to him. I've given you all the tools. The Reason Why booklet is available to you. All that is given to you at reduced cost. Number two, hang on to your King James Bible, because it is the only Bible today that gives you 100% truth. Number three, DIY. Every night, call together the family. Verse 42, watch therefore, for you know not the hour your Lord doth come. Verse 44, therefore be ye also ready. Dear friends, as I close this sermon, I have just one thought, that when the Lord comes, you will be there, happy to see him. As the bride waits for the bridegroom, may you be an alert and watchful bride, waiting but preparing and prepared for the bridegroom to come. And the bridegroom is our Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming for you. You will be the happiest person if you are ready for Him, because He will reward you with a crown of righteousness, not the lost medal that they're crying in the Olympics. Oh yeah, why I didn't win the silver medal? Oh yeah, I didn't win the gold medal. I didn't win that bronze medal, that brass medal. So what? So what? You didn't win, so what? I said, on that day when Jesus Christ says, don't cry over an Olympic medal missed. He will cry if you do not have the salvation grace of God. But it is now available to you. Go and tell. Tell others. And that is only in this book. And then have family worship every day. Now we conclude verse 44. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not. Don't ever say, I don't think the Lord will come, you know. Maybe not for another. Of course, probably you're right, but the attitude is the thing. The attitude. I say I'm ready anytime. That is the right attitude. Because when you have the right attitude, you say, if the Lord is coming today, I better not be found in that disco. I better not be found in the casino. I better not be found in another place, wherever place. I better not be found doing evil things with the internet. All those things are there waiting for you. If you do not believe Jesus is coming, you do those things. But you believe Jesus is coming anytime, you will not want to do those things because you want to please the bridegroom, because you are the bride. Verse 45. Who then is a faithful, wise servant whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household? He'll make you a ruler over his household. His reward is wonderful. When the time comes, was worth it. Was worth it. In the days on earth when we thought it was so difficult, so troublesome, we still persevered. And then on that day you say, worth it. Because he will make you a ruler over his household. He'll give you wonderful things to do for him. Amazing things you never know. And give me, alright, verse 46. Blessed is that servant whom the Lord, when he comes, shall find so doing. Amen. May you be one such servant, doing what the Lord wants you to do. On that day, you say, it was good that on the 24th of August, I heard the word, and I believe, and I did exactly as the word of God says to do. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, bless us. As we have heard the word, grant the Holy Spirit enabling that we will not be hearers only, but be doers also. Bless your people with that wonderful filling of the Holy Spirit. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.